Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, fellas? Welcome back to Combos Over Cold Brew with me, your host, Emma Abrahamson. Today we have Josette Norris back on the podcast. She was on the podcast, like, I think it was summer of 2021, so it's been quite a while, to be honest. She is a 1500 5K runner, recently just signed with On Athletics and On Athletics Club in Boulder, Colorado. So she recently made the move out there. We talk all about that, her decision to move to Boulder and OAC. Training differences, goals for the year, and so much more, so stay tuned. I've talked about them in the last two episodes, but so excited for the sponsor of the podcast, Track Club Atelier. It's presented by the Pittsburgh Track Club, and it's a new clothing brand that has modern and fun designs on loungewear staples. If you've watched any of my YouTube videos or TikToks or Instagram stories lately, I've been rocking the heptathlon sweatshirt because they're not just for runners. They have cute illustration designs for throwers, jumps, multi-events, and more. And they update the shop with new items frequently, so fans of the sport can express themselves with items like shirts that say, "Running time trials won't keep families together," and totes that say, "You can go to hell, I'm not going to Eugene again," which is how I feel when anyone asks me to pull up to Eugene, to be honest. You can find the shop on www.pittsburghtrackclub.com and use code EMMA15 in all caps to get 15% off your order. The link is in the description down below. pittsburghtrackclub.com, code EMMA15. Now let's get straight into today's episode. All right, Josette back on the podcast. It's been a while. For some reason, I thought we like talked last year, but it was 2021. So it's been like a year and a half. Yeah, time has flown by.
Where's the time gone?
I know. Oh my God. Well, okay, a lot has happened to you. You got married.
Yes.
And you joined On and OAC and you moved to Boulder. So, and I'm sure other things probably happened too during that time.
It was definitely a crazy December. Yes, Robbie and I got married. Then we went on our honeymoon and then we moved to Colorado a week later. So in 3 weeks, we had three huge life events happening. And it was so much fun, a little bit crazy. But now I've been at Altitude and with the On Athletics Club here for almost a month. So I feel like I'm really like settled in now, because when we got here, we actually stayed with Tori and Jackson, our close friends, for 2 weeks. Because we shipped everything out in our pods and everything got so delayed with the storms, the holidays. So we thought we were only going to be staying there for 1 week. And then we're like, we have to actually stay a little longer. It might actually be longer than 2 weeks. But luckily we had a lot of fun together. I think they had fun with us.
Yeah.
Now we're finally in our apartment and have finally like put everything together. Just got to now decorate a little bit, make it homey, but it's nice to feel settled.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. Moving is never, it's like so stressful. And then adding, I forgot like storms and stuff with all of that.
It was a wild gosh.
And like storms, trying to also integrate into like a brand new team and stuff too during that time. I can't even imagine like the chaos, but I guess like, I mean, January is not the worst time to do it. Cause I mean, it's like the beginning of indoor season and stuff. So
everything's a little bit calmer. And when we got here, not everyone was here because they were away on their winter break. So everyone kept trickling in at different times. So it was actually pretty nice for me because I got some one-on-one time with Dathan, and then a couple people came and I got some time with them, and then more people came. And then by the time the whole team came, I felt like I was ready to go and set up. So everything felt really smooth. And I think it would have felt a lot different if I was coming out of college joining a pro group, but this experience of changing groups and moving feels a lot calmer being older and more experienced in the running world. The biggest thing was that there was no prep for the move because we were so focused on the wedding and the honeymoon that there was no time to pack or get organized for that because we were scrambling for the wedding and our trips, which was in New Jersey. the wedding. So then we had to come back down to Charlottesville and then move out to Colorado. So it was a whirlwind of a month.
Oh my goodness. Well, when did you know that you were moving to Boulder then?
So I knew by the end of November. So I took some visits out in October, at the end of October, and then negotiations started. And then I made my decision and signed the contract closer to like end of November, December time for January 1st start time. But then, so I knew I was coming out, and then it was a matter of, okay, when do we want to fly out? And we actually ended up flying out and shipping all our stuff here. So we ended up deciding to fly out on Christmas Eve.
Oh my gosh.
We're like, yeah, we saw the flights and we're like, oh yeah, we'll just spend Christmas with Tori and Jackson. It'll be fun. We'll get out there. We'll be settled for a month before indoor races started. So I'll get the altitude bump. And the flight was a really good flight, and it was a direct from Richmond to Denver. We're like, yeah, let's just do it and not like delay anything else. So, but looking back, it was probably very aggressive of us to make that move so quickly the week after the honeymoon, because we definitely like enjoyed ourselves. We went to Costa Rica for a week. And there was like, we weren't thinking about anything. We were just like enjoying ourselves on the honeymoon. And then right when we got back, we're like, oh my God, we're moving in 1 week. But
did you have a lot of stuff in Charlottesville?
We kind of did. It was like a pretty furnished place. Like, I feel like compared to when you're in college and maybe you have a bed in like your one room, but we had everything with us and we kind of wanted to bring it all. So we ended up packing everything up into the pods and shipping it out. Like, we have our beds, our couches, our dressers, our living room table, like just everything came. So the
that
TV,
had to be so expensive.
To ship. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
It was also, I never realized how expensive moving was, let alone like moving halfway across the country. The pods were extremely expensive. I think we also got a little screwed with the fact that it was the holiday. So everything was just like more expensive than it needed to be. Like, even the rental car when we got here, because I just rented a car for a week. And then we went rented it for a week later because we had shipped out our cars, but they were also delayed too. But yeah, so it was a little bit, it was a pricey move, let's say.
That sounds, I can't even imagine. So I guess like when you're looking, I don't even know if you can discuss this. I don't really know about like what sort of NDAs there are for contracts. Do you get like moving expenses if you're moving to like a new place?
That's what, ironically, like my teammates, when I told them, my new teammates, when I was explaining, I'm like, oh yeah, it was pretty expensive to move out here. They were like, can OAC cover that? I haven't talked to Dathan about it. I don't know, being with our contracts, like if they would cover moving expenses necessarily, but I'm not sure. We went with convenience. Like, we flew here, we shipped our stuff. I didn't want to sit in the car. And then there was good flights, and we actually have two cats. So they came on the flights with us too. So it was just easier if we each had a cat for the carry-ons.
Yeah.
And just bringing them and coming here. And luckily we got to stay with our friends for a little bit in the meantime. But yeah, I'm not sure, but we went with convenience over saving money.
I mean, that makes sense. And you're probably an independent contractor then? Is that how?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
that's how it works.
Yeah. That makes sense. It's like every professional runner, other than like, I don't even know who's like fully signed to like a W-2 or whatever it is, tax forms. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know if all the runners I know are the same. Self-employed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So then when you moved to Boulder, did you already have an apartment, or did you have to go then apartment hunting?
We did have the apartment. So we were able to come in here right when we got there, December 24th. It started like December 20th. So we actually flew with, we checked 7 bags.
Oh my goodness.
Luckily those were covered because we have status now. So those were covered, but it felt like we had a lot of stuff. So I brought all my on clothes that had been shipped to me already. So I had suitcases full of my on stuff. And then we brought like a suitcase full of cat stuff. Then we had like one just full of like rollers and shoes, and then we had Christmas outfits and New Year's outfits. I was like, oh, I don't know what we're doing when we get to Colorado. What if we get invited places? I felt like we had everything we needed for the few weeks that we were going to be here. And then we slowly were like trickling things into the house, and I was buying like cleaning supplies, and like we kept coming over to the apartment to check in on it and like get things moved in before all our furniture actually came in. But we had Jackson, our friend, help look at the apartments and send videos. So that was really, it's really nice that we have really close friends here as well. Like making this move, I have two of my best friends that live in Colorado, and it's just, it made the move feel a lot easier coming here, not as scary. And there's so many runners here that you feel like you know everybody. That's also been hilarious. Just like we were so isolated in Charlottesville where you don't run into anybody ever. And in the first week here, we ran into like 10 people that we haven't seen in like over 10 years. Robbie was seeing his college teammates and they're like, "What are you doing here?" And we're like, "We moved here." They're like, "What for?" I'm like, "You'll find out."
Yeah, you'll find out soon. Just follow me on Instagram. Stay tuned. So did you always know that you wanted to live in Colorado, or was it just like, given the circumstances, you're just like, all right, Boulder's good?
I think it was the group that drew me here and being with the On Athletics Club. And I think it's a real perk that they do live in Boulder, Colorado, because I have always loved like being able to go to altitude. I've only done two camps ever, actually. Actually, I'd been to Boulder in college in the summer for like 3 weeks with my college teammates. But for real altitude camps, the last two winters I had spent in Flagstaff up at 7,000 feet for like an extended amount of time, like 5.5 weeks. And I got a great bump there and had wanted to like keep doing camps. But it's really nice being in Boulder where you're at 5,000 feet and it feels a lot more manageable to live here full time for training. And be able to get the training in you need and recover well. That's been the biggest thing, that I've been able to recover pretty well just in this last month compared to say when I'm up at 7,000 feet in Flagstaff. But I was really, on my visits, I was really drawn to On and the On Athletics Club and everything that they're doing here, and the having girl teammates to train with at such a high level, and Dathan and me had a great connection, and it just felt right. And training in Boulder is great because there's so many amazing dirt roads to run on. Of course, it's been pretty snowy here. We've been on the treadmill a lot, but the snow melts quick because the sun's so strong here, but haven't been able to get on all the trails, but I'm excited for the snow to melt. It snowed a little bit this morning again, but it wasn't too bad. But luckily we've also had access to the CU indoor track on Sundays. So that's been huge, just to be able to like get in a track workout on Sunday and then maybe do a treadmill workout for the other workout day.
Yeah. Are you able to say who else you were talking to, or is that like disclosed information?
I was looking around everywhere, like Brooks, Under Armour, talking to Nike, Adidas, just kind of exploring all options. But for groups, I was really looking for a group because I was in a situation where it kind of became where I was training alone in Charlottesville. Like I had Paige and Amy as my teammates, but Amy was in Europe and Paige was training for the marathon. So it did feel like I was training alone a lot on the track. So I definitely was craving that group environment, and my gut just kept drawing me to the OAC group. Especially, it just felt like that was going to be the group where I could really like fit in right now and have training partners and be challenged both like over distance and under distance. It feels like I've been able to like be that perfect little middle ground of the 15 to 5K to then jump in with Alicia with the 5K, 10K workouts, and then jump in with Sage and Cinta for the 8:15 workouts. It's been working out really well so far.
I can't imagine like training alone like that, like doing all of your workouts alone all the time.
It got hard at the end. Luckily, of course, I had Robbie, which was so helpful. So it wasn't like I was showing up to the track with just me and Coach Fox. Like it was me, Coach Fox, Robbie, and then Graham Crawford was there. It was like our little net group for all of the end of the spring season, summer season. But definitely it got more lonely, I guess, on like the recovery days too, the easy days. Like when you're just running alone every day out on the dirt roads, and me and Robbie, like we live together. We spend so much time together that like runs go by so much faster when you have like girls to talk to and
yeah, different,
and
you need different like tea, different things,
little
to talk
energy.
About.
So,
and also I was like, definitely like working that. Out with girls is just different than working out with guys too. Like it's just, I don't know. Having girl teammates is so nice.
Yeah, and it was great in the fall when like me, Amy, Abby, and Paige could link up. And that was great, getting like the tempos, the long runs. But then when it got to track season, we all kind of just dispersed. And that's when you really saw like the gap. But the fall was amazing because we all had each other and we were all doing the same base training. So it really just became super individualized once we started to get into our individual events and people were traveling so much like crazy.
So what was like the main reason for you leaving? Was your contract ending and you're like, all right, time to switch it up? Or what made the decision to make the move?
So my contract was ending and I had the option to stay in Charlottesville again with Reebok. But it just felt like if I was going to make a move now would be the time, especially like having 2 years from the Olympics. Like it just felt like I didn't want to be in the same position that I was in right now again in a couple of years. I was like, if I'm going to make the change, I think it needs to happen now. And I think this makes the most sense. So I wanted to explore my options and see what else was out there. And it was hard to make the change because Coach Fox helped me tremendously. He transformed me from a college runner into a professional and like running at a way higher level. And it worked and the training was working. So that's always hard when it's working and you know it's working and it can still be successful. And then you decide to go and make a change to pursue a different option. So, but yeah, I think it was just a matter of time. I felt like I've matured so much and I feel like I'm a lot different runner than I was just 3 years ago into this career. And I want to keep growing and getting better and learning and be with that team environment. And what On is doing is really incredible. And they're investing in running and making the highest products and the spikes and the shoes and having the athletes be involved in that. And I can see the vision for the future. And I wanted to go somewhere where there's like a 5-10 year plan, not just in the moment plan. So I'm excited to be part of something for an extended amount of time.
Yeah, I mean, change is definitely scary, but it's like you said, you're just a different runner than when you started. And obviously there's nothing like wrong necessarily with what you were doing. It just, I feel like you need to adapt to something else to better yourself. Like it just, you need to just consistently change and then level up. I don't know. I feel like
level up. I like that.
Yeah. Level up. And I really like, I do like On. I mean, I've talked like a little bit with their team and I've worn a lot of their products and stuff. And I know, yeah, some of the people on their team and they're all really cool. And like you said, they just really invest in running. And it is really cool to see how OAC's grown from the start until now. Like they're definitely investing in their runners. And I feel like everyone's really good too, which is, I don't know. It's crazy. Cause I feel like there's a lot of times where people on teams, there's just like a wide gap between performances, but I feel like On is one that's just consistently good. And
it's
pretty
incredible to be like surrounding and seeing it from the inside now and just how, oh, like now I get it. Like I can see behind the scenes of like, this is how they got to this point. And just to see the team environment, the dedication of Dathan, just how everything has a purpose and everything is planned out. And it feels like I have all the tools that I need to be successful with this group. And that makes me really excited. Like there's nothing that I'm missing anymore. And that's really cool. And the energy of practice is great. And like I spend most of my time with the girls, but even the guys are a great group of guys. And just you look around and like see what everyone's accomplished and you show up to workouts and it's just like even the workouts are elevated now. It's like, okay, yep, that's the standard. You're gonna run this at practice with Alicia and you're gonna do this with Sage, like just everything. It's like, okay, yep, here I am, I'm gonna do it. So it just becomes normal.
What's been the biggest like transition for you? I guess it's still pretty early days, but what have you noticed?
The biggest thing, we've increased my mileage a little bit. I was running like 60 to 65 miles with Coach Fox with a day off. So with a day off hitting 60 to 65, now I'm running like mostly every day around 70 to 75. So we've increased my mileage a good bit. And also the altitude is the biggest adjustment, I would say. Ooh, but yeah. That's more so... Yeah. So that's been like, we've just been careful with mostly the recovery days. Like I'm just like, we're hitting the workouts hard, but I'm making sure that I'm getting the recovery I need in. And a little bit of a difference is that I didn't lift with Coach Fox and Reebok the last 3 years. So I'm lifting now. And
you didn't lift at all?
I didn't lift at all.
Oh my gosh. That's like shocking.
Yeah. It's I think that surprises a lot of people. No one on the Reebok team lifted, actually. We did core twice a week, but and I did my PT.
Core, we did some flutter kicks twice a week.
Yes.
That's like shocking, though. Do people like struggle with injuries?
Not really. And you know what? I do think running on the dirt roads in Charlottesville on the hilly dirt roads, like, get you pretty strong and pretty versatile as a runner. We did a lot of our long runs and tempos out on those dirt roads. So I felt like we were getting a lot of hills in, and maybe that was helping with our power. And just, we had really good PTs and treatment, and just like, we made sure we were taking care of our bodies. But, and Fox was also big on like rest, like having an off day, making sure you're recovered, less is more approach. So we didn't have big issues with injuries, actually. But I do think long-term lifting is going to be significantly important, especially if I'm doing the 1500. I noticed that a lot more compared to the 5K. Just having that power and explosiveness at the end of the races. So that's going to, we've been slowly transitioning, and I've met with the lifting coach, and we're going to start to like elevate my plan a little bit. I'm definitely on the baby schedule compared to everybody else, but a lot of the lifting is also a PT approach, which is really cool because it's not, no one's like in the gym heavy lifting. It's all just running movements and getting your glutes stronger, your hamstrings stronger, and addressing my weaknesses, and it's all individualized. So I'm excited to see the gains I'm in the gym.
I feel like that's going to make a huge difference, though, because lifting for 1500 runners, I feel like, is really important because of the like strength and speed element that you need for that event. That I feel like that, I mean, that's probably just cool to know that you have that in your back pocket now, where it's something that you hadn't worked on at all. And then now you're going to like unlock that side, whether it's like injury prevention or just like, yeah, speed at the end of the race. I feel like it's going to level you up even more, which is nice.
Definitely. Like, I think it will help like my body not break down as much at the end of race. And the way I think I got around not lifting was really working on my strides and like doing strides the day before workouts really intentionally. With gear changing and putting on the spikes and doing drills and working on those movements. And that was where I was getting like the explosive power, doing like my drills and strides. But now I'll be doing that in the weight room. And I'm definitely excited to see how that plays a role, how the altitude plays a role, Dathan's training. It's a lot of new things. So I'm trying to absorb everything right now, but I'm excited. And I just got my blood work back this morning, actually. And nice. I got a nice, because I got it at like 3.5 weeks from being here, and I have a nice bump already. So that's a good sign. So the body's healthy. We're not depleting myself. So we're being smart, and I'm excited. We're looking at outdoors as the big season this year. So indoors, we're doing a couple races, but the big focus is we're just trying to get me stronger right now to get ready for outdoors and making that world team.
Yeah, how does your body feel? Because that is like a lot of change. You're increasing your mileage, altitude, and you're starting to lift with no off day either. I feel like I would be destroyed, but that's just me. I'm in way worse shape than you. So
I think the first 2 weeks you're like riding high, you know, energy, like new people, like I'm vibing, it's all good. And then definitely in the third week I started to feel a little bit tired, but it's been pretty great. I've been sleeping really well, which I think is important. And we've been, like I said, taking the easy day easy. So I did get a cross train day. We do incorporate that a little bit into the
What kind of cross training?
It was 40 minutes on, I did 20 minutes on the bike and 20 on the elliptical.
Nice.
I'm not the biggest cross trainer, but I'll get another cross train day.
I like how you had to split it up. Sunday. 40 minutes, like, wasn't too much.
Well, me and Cinta both had cross training days, and I guess no one wants to be on one the whole time because they like being on one more than the other. So then everyone just like divides. Everything's equal on this team. So we got 20 minutes on one, 20 minutes on the other.
It keeps it entertaining, I guess.
Yeah, just get a little water break and then you hop back on. But so far everything's been really good. Dathan's been really happy with how the workouts have gone, especially, and so have I. It's a little bit different style too of workouts, like more, say like we're doing threshold on the track, so it's like more controlled on the track, when in Charlottesville maybe I was doing threshold mostly on the roads and they were hilly dirt roads. So now being able to run repeats at like a set pace on the track, it's it feels better on the body than trying to do it out on hills on a dirt road. So my body's responding well. We're just making sure we're being smart.
Yeah. Doing threshold on the track, it just always feels way better, I feel like, than any sort of it's not an unstable surface, but like grass or road. I'm like, no, I'm just not a big threshold person.
You're spiking. So. You just have so many spikes then in the heart rate and like how your body's working. It's a way different experience than doing it on the track. So I've been loving doing it on the track because it feels a lot easier right now. So
yeah, I saw that you just joined Strava, and so I like following your workouts. I'm always just so intrigued to see what people are doing, even though it's literally like the same thing, I feel like, as everyone else. Like everyone just does threshold and they do work on the track, but it is interesting to see how different pro runners train, just to like, I don't know, just see the little differences, I guess. And I saw you did like 200s and 400s the other day, and then 1Ks or whatever. I'm like, ooh, that sounds hard. But
one of the workouts I did with Alicia, we were rotating between 1K, 2K. So the 1Ks were at goal 5K pace, and then the 2K was at threshold. So we were rotating like 1K, 2K, 1K, 2K, 1K, 2K. And it was just a lot of the difference is that the workouts, the volume is higher as well on the track. So I'm running on the track for longer too than I'm used to. But incorporating that threshold into the track makes it feel better. But then the other, like last night I did some 4s and 2s. And then I jumped in with some threshold 2Ks with Alicia. So we're getting a good mix of getting a little bit of speed, but also making sure we're staying strong with the threshold.
Yeah.
Strava's been fun. The whole OAC team, a lot of people are on Strava. So then I was like, well, I want to be on Strava too if everyone else is on Strava. So then I made it. But it's fun. I just been posting everything. It feels weird that everyone can like now see exactly what we're doing. Like you see everything, but it's been fun to like add pictures and like talk to people on it.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I wanted to try it.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking that a lot of pro runners like unleash their workouts, or like they just let people see it. But I guess it kind of makes sense. Like no one's gonna go mimic someone's training it like word for, I don't know, workout for workout. Maybe
you gotta do what's
will,
best
but no,
for your body.
Yeah, I feel like no pro runners are gonna, I don't know, copy each other's. Everyone's just gonna listen to their coach, I guess.
They'll see it and they'll think about it, but they're not gonna actually do anything differently, I don't think, because they're just gonna listen to their coach and do what they need to do. Because you see everyone's workouts on Instagram and everyone posts on it too, and you're just like, oh wow, that's a good one, and then you go and do your workout.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's been fun, and it's nice that then you can just like make more connections to other people onto Strava and like open up a different people, like see different, like you can like go and see people that are doing triathlon or running. Like you just like, it's a wide view of seeing everything, which is cool.
I know. I follow so many like random people, not random people, but just like people from all walks of life. Like people that don't like barely run at all, then I follow pro triathletes, and then I follow YouTubers and then pro runners. I'm just like, it's just so crazy to see what
that's
people
a fun
are doing.
Timeline.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not like the biggest Strava person, you know, I'm not like refreshing my feed to see what everyone's doing. I think because I have so many other social medias, but it is like fun just to, I like, you know, being dramatic on there, like posting my little paragraph about how dramatic my tempo was yesterday, you know. So
my high school friends were excited because they post on it a lot, and now I still like, I'll text them like when I have a big workout and let them know what's going on, like my runner friends. And but now I just like, oh, I'm just gonna make Strava, now you can see everything. So now it's been fun to like get to see each other's runs and comment on it. So
yeah, now you don't even have to text them now.
Yeah, now you don't have to text.
Everything will just be on social media.
More time.
Yeah. Pardon the little intermission here, but we're talking about one of my favorite sponsors of the podcast, Gooder. If you're a runner, if you're an active person, I'm sure you already know what Gooders are, but they make $25 active sunglasses that don't slip, don't bounce, and are 100% polarized. $25 sunglasses that are polarized? Yeah, sign me up. Also, they're just really cute, and like I said, they're just really comfortable when you go running, and I never feel them on my face, so that's the most ideal thing when you're looking for a pair of sunglasses. I don't want them to bounce around. They're really lightweight too, and they're really durable, honestly. Like, I'm not the best at keeping my, you know, sunglasses usually intact. I kind of just throw them into my bag, but I've actually never broken a pair of Gooders because they're just very, very durable. I wear them to cycle. I wear them just out on my walks. I obviously wear them running. They can be used for basically anything. And they're really stylish. They have so many different styles and so many different models to choose from. And they all have really cool names. I love, 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 love the Wrap G's. They're a cycling model. They're $45. And they're like the big chunky sunglasses that are super trendy right now. I highly recommend them. The Wrap G's, they're the best. They have 30-day free returns. And Gooder is actually a 100% carbon neutral company, which is incredible. I feel like every time I go for my run and I'm running on the boardwalk here in San Diego, I see multiple people wearing pairs of Gooders because they're just really popular for a good reason. I recommend them to all my friends and I gift them to all my friends too because they're just such a good running gift for birthdays or just to tell someone that you appreciate them. And if you want to support the show and pick up a pair for you, your friend, Gooder is giving Convos Over Cold Brew listeners free shipping on your first order. I threw a link in the show notes and you'll see me sporting them like on social media and YouTube right now too. So you can go to gooder.com/coldbrew to get free shipping. Like I said, Gooder offers a 3-day money back guarantee and 100% satisfaction. Find your pair at gooder.com/coldbrew to get free shipping. Now let's get back into today's episode with Josette. Do you have any problems with like comparison? Because, well, now you're on a team where everyone's like really good. So have you had any issues with like that, I guess, over the course of your entire career or now?
Not for me personally. I feel like I've done a pretty good job of just kind of like following my own path, like especially coming from being very injured in college and knowing like, okay, well, this is what my body needs and this is what I'm doing. And I try to just look at like how I've grown every year and like how my training's progressed and not look at what the other professional runners are doing, because you can see what someone's doing, but it could make absolutely no sense for me to even attempt to do what they're doing because my body is just different than theirs. And that's how they get to that level. And I have my way to get to my level. So luckily I've not fallen into that comparison game, because I know it can be like a really hard trap to fall into. But now, I think I've done a pretty good job of just like sticking, like being just set on my own path.
Yeah. I was talking about this. I filmed a YouTube video the other day, and I was just thinking about like my strengths and weaknesses as a runner. And I'm intrigued to hear like what you think yours are. Like, what, I guess we can start with the strengths of you as like a professional runner. What do you think they are?
Well, physically, I would say I'm very aerobic. Nathan also, I'll say, because he said, he's like, you're a lot more aerobic than I thought. You're going to be doing a lot more with Alicia. After two workouts here. And I was like, oh, that's a good compliment.
Ooh, it sounds like you're about to go do the 10K eventually.
I might be pacing that sound running 10K, actually.
Ooh, are you going to be pacing 6 miles of it or what?
They're looking for going through 5K. In 15 minutes. So they're looking for a pacer to be able to do that. So I might be going through 6K through the 5K in 15 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be a fast 10K for these ladies. So that might be on the schedule. I'm going to be pacing a 10K, but I will not be running a 10K. But I would say I'm pretty aerobic, and then can also go down and turn over and do that speed. Like, I think I get to the 1500 from a strength standpoint, and then I'm able to also turn over. But I think I'm also just, I'm very, like, in races, I feel like I'm tactically a good racer, like how I can move up and like know when to make the right moves. And I'm learning the 1500. The 1500's definitely been different than a 5K. Like, you just have so much more time in a 5K. But I feel like I make the right moves tactically and have a good, like, vision of the race. And those are two big strengths I think I have.
Wait, why are you laughing? Well, it's kind of awkward, like, gassing yourself up to... Literally, in my YouTube video, I was like, I think I'm naturally talented. I have to be honest. Like, I feel like, you know, people have natural talent. Some people have more than others. I don't think I have the most, but I don't know.
I think definitely to be able to run professionally, there has to be athletic capability.
There has to be some sort of natural talent in there. Okay, any other, like, mental ones? Like, mental toughness? Are you, like, an emotionally stable person?
I would say I'm pretty emotionally stable. I feel like I run a lot of races with a lot of heart, but in training and everyday training, I'm pretty like level-headed. And actually a big thing that I've learned also is just, I used to like crave the like high of having a good workout in college, because when I was injured, it's like I was holding on to that so badly. And now being healthy and running at a higher level where the workouts are just so elevated, it's just like another day of practice. Like, we can run this incredible workout. And then it's like, okay, like, let's move on to the next. Like, now they don't get like, I don't get a high feeling off of it. Now it's just like the races that are the ones that get you going, but I don't crave it in practice anymore. Like, I used to like need my training to get me that confidence into the races, and that's definitely changed. And I think that's just going to become with like more maturity and also just being able to train more. So I would say I'm pretty like emotionally level-headed, but then when I'm running races, I run with like a lot of heart and a lot of pride in the races, and show more emotion in the races, but that's also like a strength in the race, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's almost like you can't really have emotional attachment to your training at all. Like, you can't be emotionally attached to having a really good workout or having a really bad workout. You kind of just have to let it go. It's almost the same piece or the same kind of mindset. This is different, but this is like around work, where especially creative work. If you make like a really good piece of like creative work, like you can't, or like a YouTube video, this is for me personally. Like if I feel like I made a really good YouTube video and it does really well, whatever, it's like, I can't, you know, I don't know, just be dwelling on that or still be thinking about
that. You got to go and make another one.
Yeah. You have to go make another one. It's the same with working out. And yeah, whether you have a good one or a bad one, you kind of just have to let it go. Like, it can obviously give you confidence, but I don't know. You can't get emotionally attached to a workout.
There's a fine line, because you don't want to like dismiss it, because that's what's going to, you want to look back on it because it's going to help you grow. And it's like, oh, well, what did I do right in that YouTube video that got me so many views? Like, I need to do something like that. But then it's also like, oh, you can't get so attached, because you have to do something a little different next time, because the same thing's not going to work every single time. So I think another then strength is just also like looking at the big picture. I'm like, I can see the big picture, and that just comes with like, okay, if I can put in the consistent work and see the improvements each month, like that's going to get me to where I need to be successful. And I'm also just like I've always been a competitive person. Like, I think my friends think I get a little too competitive when we're playing like Mario Kart or cards.
Yeah, that's like a common theme with every pro runner that I think talk I get to. It's a good trait though.
I think it's just like, it's naturally I'm like very competitive. And of course that's probably why we're drawn to competitive racing. So I would say that's also a strength.
Yeah. Has there ever been like a race where you've been just like emotionally distraught after? Because obviously, like, then you do have the emotional attachment to the races, because that's where you're expected to perform super well. And if it doesn't, like, there's a lot more on the line than a workout.
I guess the Olympic trials, I was definitely just like, my mind was just like gazed over. But then I came back and crushed the workouts the next week and had a great, like, next month. Like, I just kind of like moved on. You have to have in this sport, like, you kind of have to like be able to move on quickly sometimes. So then I think I've like trained my body to do that as well. It's like, okay, well, that didn't happen, now I gotta go make the next thing happen. So yes, it's a crazy sport. It's like, really, like, what have you done right now in this moment? And it's like, okay, it's like everyone's gonna keep getting better and faster and faster, and it's like, you need to too.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially for running so many years, I feel like you just learn that over time. I don't know. I don't think I've ever really cried after a race ever, because it's like that mindset where there's always going to be another race. And even if like the one that you wanted to do really well at, maybe it's the Olympic trials, maybe it's something less intense than the Olympic trials, like, there's always going to be another one if you want there to be. So okay, well, what are some of your weaknesses? Like, what are some things that you can work on? I mean, obviously strength training is probably one.
The weight room is my biggest weakness right now.
Yeah.
We've definitely learned that. That's probably my biggest weakness, honestly, right now, is the weight room training. I gotta get stronger, but luckily that, like you said, it's like, okay, that's something that's gonna then definitely help, because the better you can be in the weight room and just like the stronger your body is. I would say that's my biggest weakness.
Do you have any mental ones that you can think of?
Mental ones.
Or you're just the mentally strong goat.
I think, you know, what's different? It's like, so being even, let's just say, like, so at Reebok, we had a lot of, we can make a lot of decisions with our training. Like, we planned out our mileage. We were able to like pick the races. Like, you had a lot of authority in your training. And I think that also has made like the people that have been on the Reebok team, like, really like versatile runners, because we have this like we know what our body like knows and needs. But then sometimes you could be like, oh, well, I think my body needs this. But now with Coach Dathan, he's very hands-on and he's like writing everything out and it's all like set and in a plan. And I don't have to like think anymore. And I think that's going to be really nice to not have to think as much and like make decisions. He was like, I don't want you to have to make these decisions anymore. Like I'm going to make them for you. So it's funny to go from one to the other. And I think sometimes when you can like have to make all these decisions, like it just can be a little bit stressful on the mind and body and draining. So I think that could be like a weakness when you have to like, if you start to overthink things. And now I feel like I haven't had to overthink anything like training wise. So I'm just doing the training. It's also been different training. So it's like, I can't really compare it to anything. It's kind of like a clean slate in a way, but I've also been training hard for the last 3 years. So the workouts are super still like elevated and high quality. So that could be a good one to say.
Yeah. Decision fatigue, I feel like it's so real though, where you have to like constantly make decisions for yourself. I mean, I, not even from a training perspective, but I just know that from like being self-employed, like always, like I never, throughout the day, I never have anyone telling me what to do ever. And it sounds amazing, obviously, to people on the outside, but doing it for so many years, I go insane. It drives you insane and it's so stressful. Mm-hmm. And people don't really like realize that until, I feel like a lot of people started realizing that when they started working from home, like during COVID, where they realized they had way more freedom. And then they're like, wait, I kind of want to go back to the office, like, and just have like a structure or routine. Like it's probably just so nice having someone like tell you exactly what you need to do. And especially someone like Dathan, who you obviously like trust his training and stuff, because everyone's doing so well. It makes it mm-hmm. a lot easier to not have to think about like what you're doing and if what you're doing is correct or not, like second guessing it.
And it's easy when you're making these decisions and everything's going well.
Yeah.
It's bad then when there's like a hurdle, like say like I had a hamstring injury this past outdoors. And then there's a lot of like decisions of like, oh, so we're not going to open up here. Like let's open up at a different meet. Let me go drive to North Carolina and go get dry needle treatment and then come back. Like there was just a lot of elements, like, let me go to Europe, come back and then go back to Europe. There's just a lot of decisions that looking back, I'm like, I wish I didn't really have to make them. But I think it becomes more apparent when a situation does arise and then it's like, oh, now I don't know what to do. And was that the best move? But yeah, like you said, now it's been nice just to not have to make any decisions. And like, I can trust Dathan fully. And I've always had no problem like trusting in my coaches, like trusting in Coach Fox and his system. And of course, like it took a year to get developed into a system. Like the pandemic year was my first year as a professional, and that year was really hard transitioning out of college. But then we nailed it that next year, and like we really got to like learn each other with Coach Fox and found a way to like get me better. And now I have no problem like trusting into Dathan. So I feel like I'm really coachable, and that's what I've been told by my coaches in the past. So
another strength.
I think that's a good
thing.
I got a strength. Mm-hmm. Maybe okay.
So what have you and Dathan talked about in terms of like your goals for this year?
Goals for this year. Definitely getting stronger. That's a big one. We want to get stronger just aerobically and more developed. And I did tell him I do want to run a 5K this year. I feel like I didn't really get to run one last year because we were so focused on the 15, which I wanted to do because I wanted to go to World Indoors and run the 1500. And then we focused on the 15 as well outdoors. But I still want to focus on the 15, but I also want to run a 5K this year. But we're just going to stay healthy, get stronger, and like put up results that I'm proud of, and have a year where like I can be proud of like the performances I've had. But the big goal is getting to Budapest this outdoor season. And of course, like running the Diamond Leagues. But yeah, I think we're looking at it this as like a long-term thing. But I definitely feel like the way things are going right now, and if I can stay healthy and keep improving, we can do something special outdoors.
What are your goals for beyond? Have you thought, I mean, it's hard to even know, like, I don't know, a year out, even after like outdoor season, you have no idea, but I guess like in your entire running career, what do you have any like giant goals that you want to achieve?
Definitely. I mean, I want to make the I want to make the next two Olympic teams. I want to make world teams, world finals, contend for medals. Like, I feel like I want to be making teams and in contention for medals, and also like chasing American records. Like, I'd love if we keep pursuing the 1500, like I want to go after the 1500 American record at one point. Like, I think every runner has like these big goals and things they want. And I definitely think like getting on teams is the way to get there, to then run at your highest level. Like, I always think like you're going to put your best performance out and your fastest times, like when you're competing, and the highest competition are at those races. So I want to be at those races and I want to get there.
I mean, those are obviously very, very high goals. which, I mean, it makes sense because you're a very high achiever in the sport already.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What is your what is your purpose? Like, why? What is your why, I guess, with running? Because to reach a level, I mean, that you've already reached, and to go above and beyond, like, you know, making teams, record setting performances and stuff, what do you think drives you the most?
I think what drives me the most is wanting to see how good I can be. Like, you want to see what your body and mind can do, and like see the highest level that you can perform. And I'm really excited to be with On and the brand of On, and be part of also like the development in these next years, and see where On goes with running, because this group is so new. Like you said, they've only been around for a couple of years, and what they've accomplished, they're ahead of what they thought they were going to be in 2024. Like, they've already accomplished what they thought they were going to do in 2024. So it's really exciting to be part of that and a team. And it's like, okay, well, what's this team going to do in the next 5 years? Like, I want to be part of that. And I want to be making Olympic teams and like winning medals. And I think it's just like, there's a really exciting energy around that. And I'm excited to push myself and see what I can do as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure everyone's excited to watch you. It's been fun to watch you just as like a friend, you know, just to see like how much that you've been able to accomplish, especially like after college and stuff. It's just always cool to see people that are like my class, seeing what they go on to do.
I know, crazy. I remember we were like messaging when we were just like looking at colleges.
That's, I know, so it feels like time has gone, like that was almost 10 years ago. Time has gone by so fast, it's like concerning. I'm like, oh my goodness,
how old are we?
I know, exactly. Okay, well, we have some listener questions that we can go through before ending the episode. So what is the best and the worst part about being married to a runner?
Wow. The best part is that we're on the same schedule, so we get to spend so much time together. Like, it's like, okay, let's go out for a run. Let's go then to brunch. Like, we get to, let's go watch a movie in the middle of the day. It's that we get to see each other a lot more. Like, other couples, when they leave from 9 to 5 and then they're meeting for dinner and they're exhausted, like, that's not the vibe that we have. Like, we're just like together and doing everything together. But then I guess the hardest part could be when you're both racing, and then like one person's having a really like good day and the other person's not. Like, I think the balance of like both competing at the highest level, that can get a little bit tricky when maybe like someone is injured and someone's not, or it's the like talking about running a lot. Like, maybe you talk a little bit, we talk too much about like stats, like, 'cause we're runner nerds, but that's probably like one of the harder things to manage. And then maybe we talk too much about running.
And having every
but it's
runner
really
done.
Like the quality time is, it's pretty incredible to get to have that. And then like get to travel the world. Like you get like when like Robbie's with me in Europe and it's like, he's showing me what he did when he ran there 5 years ago. And like now he always said like, it was so lonely when he did it alone and he was out in Europe and he was in his 20s, just alone. And like, he stayed in his room because there was no one to do things with. And then when I went to Europe, I was like, oh, let's go take the boat. Let's go do this. And like, let's go explore a little bit. Cause you do have like, when the races are a week apart, of course you have to, you're training and you're staying off your feet, but there is time to do things. And it's nice to have your partner with you to be able to do that and enjoy those experiences with you.
Yeah.
Who really understands it.
Yeah. Who understands when you need to go like take a nap or something in the middle of the day.
I'm also the worst napper. And Robbie's a big napper, but I don't nap. So I think that's bad of me to him. Like he probably wishes that I nap more. Cause I'm like, oh, so what are we doing today? Like I'll lay down and watch Netflix, but I won't fall asleep. I'll just binge TV for hours.
Yeah. That makes sense. Also, I like how you're like, when normal people come back from their 9 to 5 and they're exhausted or whatever, I'm like, normal people would think that you're insane for going and running like 13 miles and then saying that you're not exhausted, but that's just being a runner, so
it's a different life.
I mean, I think working 8 hours
runners, it's like it's a lifestyle.
Yeah,
it's like running, you make it a lifestyle and it doesn't feel like a job.
Yeah. Working, like, I feel like an 8 hour day is way more exhausting than any sort of like workout or run that I've done. It's just a different type of exhausting though, but two very different things.
Yes.
Okay. What's your favorite part of being a pro?
My favorite part is definitely traveling and racing, like going to be able to travel, especially going to new places and then being able to race at, like the Diamond Leagues is a great example. Like you're traveling over to Europe and you're racing in front of like a sold out stadium in Europe and competing against the best runners in the world. Like being able to compete and travel to new places is really, really cool and really special.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it seems so cool. All the places that you're able to go and like, yeah, you get to go on like a whole Europe tour and it's, I mean, I don't know, doing something that you love to and like competing and representing your country and all of it is really cool. That's like why people want to be pro runners, I feel like, is for that reason. Mm-hmm. It's the travel aspect is, I think, a huge one. And you just go to places that I feel like not normal people don't really go. So you just see the different parts of the world.
Mm-hmm. Like we were at World Indoors, we were in Serbia. Like when would I ever have the chance to go to Serbia or think that I'm going to be able to get there? Like it's just, it's really eye-opening. And then, like you said, like wearing USA across your chest and being representing your country, like there's nothing like it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do you have a least favorite part of, I guess, running or being a professional runner?
The hardest part is probably that it is such a lifestyle thing. It's just constant. Like we're training all year long. It's not like you're just set in a season or like going to work and then it's like leaving your work at home. Like everything you do after training affects what's going to happen later. So it feels like it, not that you're making sacrifices, but in a way, like you do have to say no to things because you're looking at the big picture and it's not just like, oh, my task is done. And it's like, I can do whatever I want now till the next day. It's like everything you do matters. So sometimes that can be a little exhausting, but like, that's why it's really cool to having a partner that understands the running because we're on the same page and like we understand each other on a different level than I feel like other people could. So then we get why we're doing what we're doing.
Yeah, I can imagine. I feel like it would be a lot easier to have a partner that's a runner because, yeah, like you said, they just understand exactly the sacrifices that you need to make and stuff. Mm-hmm. Also, I feel like, I don't know, being our age, running is such a fulfilling aspect of life that a lot of people don't really understand unless you are a runner. So even like the sacrifices that you do have to make, I feel like it's worth it because I don't know, I've taken a long breaks from running or whatever, and I don't really think anything else makes me feel as fulfilled as like chasing my running goals or I don't know, pushing my body to the physical limit, which has been a weird eye-opening experience for me where I'm like, I don't know, running just brings so much fulfillment to my life. So I mean, yeah, like you have to sacrifice, you know, I don't know, going out and with friends sometimes and it is like a lifestyle, but I feel like ultimately it is really fulfilling.
And it's like, yeah, it's what you want to be doing. It's like, I want to be doing this. So it does, it makes those decisions a lot easier than it could be to some other people.
Yeah. I think for me, because I've taken such a like long break after college off, and I mean, now just really starting to get back into it. I think I needed the break to show me that I like actually wanted to do it, because for so many years, since I was so good, I sound like a narcissist. since I was good, since like the day I started running, it was never really my choice to go out and go for my runs or like go out. I don't know. I knew that I was going to be running in college from when I was like in middle school. Like there was no choice that I was making to do it. So I think I needed the break to show me that the reason why I run
you want to do it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to do it every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just weird, because I feel like I really did need the time off away from the entire sport of running to realize like how much I do enjoy it. But yeah, that's just a little,
and that's the other thing, like especially when you don't, maybe days of that you're tired and you don't want to go out. Like I just always remember, I'm like, I'm so lucky that I'm able to like go out and chase my dreams right now, and that my body is healthy, that like I would do anything to be in this position. It's like I got asked that on like when Awn asked me a bunch of questions. It was like, what when you on days like you don't feel like running, I'm like, I remember that like this is a privilege to be able to go and chase my dreams every day, and that my body can do it. And it's like, that's exactly what I want to be doing. And that's what I remember, if like what days that you're exhausted and maybe don't feel like running. But that's luckily it's like, because it's a lifestyle, it's manageable. Like you make it, like it's not like we're running ourselves into the ground. It's like you see the long-term approach, and it's like everything's very calculated and there's a system. So I feel like that's why it's like you can pro runners can run for so many years. It's like they make it 10-year careers or longer.
Yeah, it is just very systematic. Like there's a very systematic mm-hmm. approach, and I think that's what a lot of people do wrong at the beginning when they're like just getting into running, is that they overload themselves and it just feels so bad. Like there's just like a lot of mistakes that can be made until you like truly know your body and your limits and everything, and you know what works for you and what doesn't. It takes mm-hmm. so many years. Like it's just such a process that takes so many years to like get to know yourself.
It's a journey.
It's a journey. And you know, there's never an end destination, which makes it that much more time that you can always be better. So, okay. The last question I have for you is, what do you have any advice to your younger self?
Advice to my younger self. My advice would first, like we've been talking about, is like continue to chase your dreams, no matter the obstacles or the hurdles that you're going through. Continue to go after what you want, even if you feel like everything's like fighting against you, because that's how I did feel a lot in college, especially after such a smooth high school experience and getting there. It's like, just felt like everything was telling me like to stop, and that like you're not going to be able to get to the pro level, because your body is fighting you. But deep down, I always believed that like, this is what I wanted to do, and I know I can get there. And like to bet on myself, like to bet, I think that would be my advice, like continue to bet on yourself, because that's what I've been doing. And I'm still am today.
Yeah, I think that's why I like watching your journey so much, is because like, obviously, I knew you in high school, and you were really good and stuff. And then you had your challenges in college, and you made it out the other side. And I feel like, I don't know, it's not even giving up. I don't think that's the right word, but a lot of people like end up retiring because, I don't know, they just deal with so many hardships, which isn't necessarily a bad thing or whatever. But I think if you have that internal like drive to, you know, want to figure it out and be successful with the sport of running, I feel like you can do that. It just takes a lot of patience. And that's why I admire you, and I like following your journey, because I feel like I've just seen it, you know, over time. And it's just cool to see someone like come out the other side of dealing with hardship and injuries and stuff. So
thanks, Emma. And I really appreciate that. And definitely like having a support system around you that also believes in that and what you're doing is so important, because I think I almost like lost that spark for a little bit in college. And it was my college coaches and like having talks with like my best friends and teammates, like that was like reminding me like of that passion that I had. And it's like, you can do this. It's just like, we need to just keep getting these little steps to get there, but like, you can do it. And I think that's what's rare about my journey, is that like my breakthrough did happen in my fifth year of college. Like that's when I made my first track NCAAs. And that's not the common journey that most people have. And so it's definitely have taken a different approach to how to get there. And that's why also, like, when you think about the comparison game, there's not one way and one journey to get somewhere. Like, you can see so many different comeback stories of different journeys. And it's like, there's not one path to get to the level you need to get to. There's a lot of different ways. And like, you got to keep believing in yourself, and there is a way to get there.
Yeah, especially after being so good in high school, coming out and probably having so much pressure on yourself. Like, yeah, there's definitely a lot of ways ways to get to a level of success that you've reached. So, okay, well, where can people follow you to stay, you know, on top of your race results and your life? Where can they find you at?
On Instagram, at Josette Norris. My name is changing to Josette Andrews, but I don't know if I'm going to change the Instagram handle. I think I'll keep it Josette Norris, but then in my bio, change my name. But you can also, now that I'm on Strava, I guess I'll throw a little Strava right there. Yeah, follow me on Strava.
That's going to be the new plug. Everyone's going to
Strava. Yeah.
Yeah, everyone's going to start plugging their Strava at the end. I think you might be the first Strava.
After my meals.
Yeah. You might be
the first Strava plug. Oh, this is new.
Yeah, see, there we go. I'll just start asking
my 300 followers.
Instead of Instagram, I'm just going to ask, so what's your Strava, you know?
Do it. They'll be like, "Wait, what?"
Yeah, exactly. Some people don't even know what Strava is, so this podcast will make it.
I'm very new to it, so
yeah,
I'm trying my best.
Okay, well, thank you so much for chatting. I'm excited to watch how you do this year and stuff. Wait, when's your first race?
This Saturday.
Oh, where?
Dr. Sanders, in New York City. Yeah, so racing Dr. Sanders, and then we'll come back 2 weeks later and run Milrose, and that will be the indoor season.
Okay, nice. Well, Armory.
Yep.
Do you like the Armory?
It's 15 minutes from my hometown, so it's like, it feels like it's like my hometown track, if that makes sense. Like, we had counties there in high school, which is so crazy to think about. So I like the Armory. Yeah, it's not, it feels like home.
Yeah, that's good. Not foreign territory. Yeah. So.
No, yeah.
Cool. Well, good luck. To close out the episode, can we get a good old peace out, fellas?
Oh, yeah. Peace out, fellas.
Thank you all so much for listening to another episode of Combos Over Cold Brew. I hope you enjoyed it. Make sure to rate and review on Apple Podcasts. It helps me out so much, and I love reading your guys' reviews, and it means the world, honestly. It's the only feedback I get for this podcast, pretty much, so I love just seeing what you guys think of it. Follow us on Instagram at Combos Over Cold Brew Pod if you want to be up to date on the latest episodes, and submit listener questions, and I will catch you all next week. Peace out, fellas.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.